But I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate those of you that have prayed this week and those of you that have come regularly and got in on all the services. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's been very easy to preach to you because you've received what was being put out. And it's always, you can always tell when people are receiving the Word of God because it's easy, they just sort of pull it out of you. When people are resisting the Word of God, it's like you're putting it out there and it's bouncing right back in your face. And I guess you would just have to be a preacher and do some preaching to understand what I've just said. But it's been a blessing to be here. And what I have to say this morning is not going to be very deep. As a matter of fact, it's going to be very simple. And I trust that it'll be a help to someone in here this morning. And I trust that maybe even after this message is over and done with, that somehow the Lord will use it to preach to someone else over again. I know that a lot of times these messages get put on tapes. You can take the tape and give it to someone. And the congregation I preach to every Sunday morning is somewhere between about 65 and 80 people that are sitting out there. And, you know, the devil always wants to try to tell you that your influence isn't very big if you're only preaching to 65 to 75 to 80 people. But I look at it this way. If that's all that I had to preach to, it would be worth it for those people there. But then I know also that they'll take those tapes, they'll get those tapes, and they'll pass them on, and we send the tapes out, and other people hear them. So there's a lot of people that hear the messages that aren't even in the building, and I know that the Word of God has the power to go out and do a job on people, even though they're not the folks that are sitting right there in the service. I've gotten reports that people have listened to certain messages, and through those messages they've gotten saved. We send some messages out to California to a lady out there. She doesn't have much of a church to go to, and so she gets the tapes every month, and she listens to those things, and she sends me letters all the time telling me that you know, those messages are a blessing. And so I hope that this message will be a blessing to you this morning, a help to you in some way. But I know this, it takes more than just people receiving the Word of God for a message to do the work. It takes the Holy Spirit of God working and doing the work in the hearts of men and women and young people. And all I can do is deliver the message, but it takes the Holy Spirit to do the work. And let's pray this morning that God's Spirit would do a work in our midst here today. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I want you to think about this word. Just one word that I want you to think about this morning, and that's the word saved. I want you to think about that word saved. Romans chapter 10 talks about being saved. And in Romans 10 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul wanted to see Israel get saved. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And that's the way religious people are all over the world today. They're trying to establish their own righteousness, and in trying to do that, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, and therefore they are not saved. They might be good. They might be religious, they might be moral people, they might be kind people, they might be good neighbors, they might be good family and friends, but they are not saved no matter how righteous they appear to be if they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And then it says in verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be Saved. That's the word I want you to think about. Saved. It says in verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask this morning that You would bless the Word of God as it goes forth, and God, put Your anointing upon it. And Lord, do something with it that only You can do. I pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit might take the words of this book and the words of my mouth and send them forth to do the work, the spiritual work in the heart and soul of each and every person that's in this building. For those, Lord, that have been saved, may they be able to rejoice in the great salvation that they possess. And Lord, may they go out of here realizing that salvation and being saved is the greatest thing that will ever happen to them until the rapture. And Lord, I pray for anyone in here that might not be saved, that this morning they might consider their soul salvation and that they would get saved before it's too late. For anyone, Lord, that might be listening to this tape and they are not saved, I pray that they would realize that they need to be saved and that they would get saved by trusting Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I pray that You would clear my mind and give me the exact words that You want me to say. May it be said in a way that would be pleasing unto You, and may it do the work that You want done. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Saved. A person says, "What have you been saved from?" Well, I'll tell you, when I got saved from myself. I got saved from my sin. I got saved from hell. I got saved from a devil that kept me in bondage. Brother, I'll tell you what, when the Lord saves someone, He saves them from all of those things. If you've never been saved, then you might not understand what makes people a little bit excited and a little happy when you start talking about being saved and about salvation. Salvation, yes, is going to heaven. Yes, it's being with the Lord forever and ever. But brother, I'll tell you what, being saved also means missing out on the wrath of God and an eternal hell that God's prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, the Scriptures are clear. God wants a man to be saved. If you're in here this morning and you've never been saved, I can tell you dogmatically, I can tell you with all authority that beyond any shadow of a doubt, God wants you to be saved. He says it over and over again in His book. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God wants the world to be saved. Will the world be saved? No, because man will not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ that he might be saved. But it's God's will. It's God's plan. It is God that wants the world to be saved. John chapter 5 and verse 34 says, "But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved." Jesus Christ said, "I'm saying these things that ye might be saved." The Bible, again, tells you that God wants a man to be saved. Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell. The Holy Spirit wants you to be saved. The people in hell want you to be saved. The people in heaven want you to be saved. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one that repenteth. Brother, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people and there's a lot of things going on your behalf, if you're lost, that point to the fact that you need to be saved, and God wants it that way. God wants you to be saved. The warnings of the Scripture speak over and over again to a lost man that he needs to be saved. The Bible speaks of death and judgment and hell. You're going to die, you know you're going to die. You're going to be judged, you know you're going to be judged. And the Bible tells a man that he is going to be spending eternity in hell, in a fire, where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth if he does not get saved. You have the warnings that are contained in this book to point to the fact that God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants them to be saved. The convincing and the convicting and the reproving of the Holy Spirit points out that God wants a man to be saved. The Holy Spirit will convict the man. He'll show that man his sins. He'll show that man that he has a need. And that need is not of religion. That need is not to do better, but that need is of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. A lot of times people think, well, in order for me to get saved, I have to do this, 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 and this. No, you don't. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible says again, For to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. A person says you need more than faith. There's got to be some works. If you're going to be saved, there's something you have to do. No, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse says, ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I do no works to get saved, but once I am saved, I'm his workmanship, and he wants me to work. And if you're saved in here this morning, God wants some work out of you. But if you're lost in here this morning, there's no work that you can do to get saved. All you can do is believe on Jesus Christ and trust him, and you'll be saved. The convincing of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit points to the fact that God wants a man to be saved. The love and the mercy of God shows you and points to the fact that God wants a man to be saved. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, or despisest then the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God is good to the inhabitants of this world. God is good to man, that he might turn from his sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet man ignores the warnings of Scripture. He ignores the conviction and the convicting of the Holy Spirit. He ignores the love and the mercy of God. Not only that, God has the testimony of others that have been saved to show a man that he needs to be saved. Sometimes it's a mother. Sometimes it's a father. Sometimes it's a brother or sister. Sometimes it's a friend. Sometimes it's a preacher. Sometimes it's a co-worker. But God shows a man through others that have been saved that he wants that individual saved. Mel Trotter, a drunk, looking like a hopeless drunk. So hopeless that he stole the shoes off of his dead baby to go out and buy booze with. And yet God wanted that man saved, and saved that man. If God could save a wretch like that, he could save a wretch like you. John, we sang that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. The man that wrote that song was a wretch. He knew he was a wretch, and yet the Lord saved him and used him. And brother, I'll tell you what, that song is sung by lost people all over the world. And God wants them saved. It's a testimony to the fact that God wants people to be saved. Not only that, the light of God that shines unto all men shows you that God wants a man to be saved. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 9 that Jesus Christ is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And there's going to come a time in your life when the light of the gospel of the grace of God will shine in your heart, and you will know that God wants you to be saved. He'll show you that you're a sinner. He'll show you that salvation's in Jesus Christ, and then you'll have to make a choice as to what you're going to do with Jesus. You'll either reject him or you'll accept him. If you'll accept him, you'll be saved. If you'll reject him, then you'll stay lost. But God wants you to be saved. Think of that word, saved. The gospel of the grace of God points to the fact that God wants a man to be saved. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God wants you to be saved. God's done everything in his divine power to keep a man from dying in his sin and going to hell. God has made salvation simple. It is so simple that a man says, there's got to be more to it than that. No, there's no more to it than that. God wants you to believe and be saved. That's pretty simple. God made it so simple that anyone can get saved any place, any time, if they'll believe. There'll be no excuse when a man stands before God. He won't be able to say, "Lord, I was dying there underneath that car, and I only had a couple minutes to go, and there was no way I could get saved because I couldn't get to the church. I couldn't go to another meeting. I couldn't respond to an invitation. I couldn't get baptized. I couldn't go back and make restitution for the wrong deeds I've done." And God will say to that man, "You didn't have to do any of that stuff. All you would have had to do is just believe in your heart on my son Jesus Christ, and you'd have been saved." God's made it simple. Salvation is not complex. I mean, it's a plan whereby only a divine God could work it out so that it is simple for us. But it's certainly not hard. It's simple. God's made it complete. So you know what's so great about salvation? Once you get saved, it's complete. Everything is done that needs to be done in that instant. When I got saved, I got all the Holy Spirit that I'm ever going to get. When I got saved, I got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I got saved, man, there was a spiritual work that took place inside me that I didn't know anything about that sealed me until the day of redemption. When I got saved, there was someone that came inside me, the Spirit of God, the Comforter of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that inner man, that hidden man of the heart came inside me, and he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll be with you through everything that you do, every place that you go, every step that you take, and I'll never take off. I'll be with you. I'll stick with you. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Complete. The Bible says, "And ye are complete in Him." Salvation is something that's complete. It's simple. It's complete. And here's the best thing. It's free. Amen. I mean, I can't understand why every woman wouldn't want to get saved, because they're always looking for something free, you know. Free. Buy one, get one free. Man, they run out there and try to figure out a way to get three or four of them so they can get three or four more free. Isn't that great? I mean, it's simple, it's complete, and it doesn't cost you a thing. It's free. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord," and it is free. God wants every man, every woman, every young person, every child, every old person, every person on the face of this earth, He wants them to be saved. The question that I present to you this morning is, are you saved? And if you are saying in your heart, "Yes, I'm saved, yes, I'm saved," when did you get saved? Can you put your finger on a time? You say, "I've always been saved." You're not saved. You say, "I just was brought up in a Christian home and I grew into it." You're not saved. You say, "Well, I'm doing the best I can." You're not saved. You see, for you to be saved, there has to have been a time when you realized you were lost, you were a sinner, and the wrath of God abided on you, and you needed Jesus to get you out from under that wrath and to keep you from going to hell, and you trusted Him, and you got saved. That's what salvation is. And God speaks about being saved over and over and over again in His Word. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 33, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved." You read this Bible, you read this New Testament, and you're going to read over and over and over and over and over and over and over again that God wants man to be saved. Now the question is, are you saved? And if you're not, why not? There's a lot of people that are going to hell. They're still going to hell in spite of all that God has done, in spite of all that God is doing, in spite of all that the Holy Spirit of God is doing to try to get them saved. They're still going to hell. And here's some reasons why. If you're not saved in here this morning, it might be that you think you'll have to give up too much in order to be saved. The devil has people believing that to get saved, they have to give up everything that's worthwhile. I used to think that. I thought, man, if I get saved, I'm going to have to give up everything. Everything that I enjoy, everything that I was doing, all my sinful activity, I'll have to give it up if I'm going to get saved. Listen, you don't have to give anything up. God never says, you give up this, 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 and then believe on me and I'll save you. He just says, believe on me and I'll save you. You say, well, everybody I ever knew that got saved gave it up. But they didn't have to give it up in order to get saved. They gave it up because they got saved. And you can't give it up until you get saved. And once you get saved, you don't want to give it up. God changes your wanter. The stuff you don't want right now, God changes you to the place where you want it. And the stuff that you used to want, God changes you to the place where you don't want it. He changes your wanter, but you're never going to have that change until you get saved. And that's so hard for a lost person to understand. They look at it, I'll have to give up all the pleasures of life. Well, remember this. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But just like winter comes to an end and then comes spring, and spring comes to an end and then comes summer, and summer comes to an end and then comes fall, so sin season comes to an end. And when you're out there sowing the seeds of sin and sinful pleasure, the day's going to come when that season is over, and then you go out and you reap the fields of sin that you've sown. So keep on going. And one of these days, down the road, 20, 30, 40 years, you're going to start reaping, and you'll wish you had gotten saved 20, 30 years ago. Saved. That's what I want you to think about this morning. One word. Saved. Are you saved? People say, well, I'm not saved because I just can't give this up. And they think that if they get saved, all they can do is go to church. That's all I'll be able to do is just go to church, and that's no fun. After all, I'm miserable every time I go to church. That's the way they think. But you get saved, and then you're happy when you go to church. It's fun now to go to church. I used to think it was fun to go out to a bar. I used to think it was fun to go out there to the firehouse on Sunday night and play cards. I used to think it was fun to go down to the Italian social club and sit there with all those Italians and dance all night and drink all night and eat all that food down there that they had. But now I found out that going to church and being with God's people and having fellowship with the saints and listening to the Word of God and have the Holy Spirit bear witness to it and deal with me, that's what's fun now. But you have to get saved in order to see that, in order to understand that. The truth is, instead of giving everything up, I got everything when I got saved. I didn't give anything up. I just got everything, and the Lord took those desires away. I ask you this morning, are you saved? You say, no, I'd have to give up too much. No, you won't have to give up anything. Nothing. Just come to Jesus Christ and get saved. You say, there's a hook in that someplace. You're trying to trick. No, I'm not trying to trick you. No hook, no trick, nothing more, nothing more, no fine print, nothing that you're going to see after you do that you can't see right now. If you're not saved, God wants you saved, and if you'll trust Jesus Christ, He'll save you. Give you everlasting life, take you to heaven. Won't have to fear death, won't have to fear hell. You'll be saved from those things. What about it? saved. You know why a man doesn't get saved? He's afraid of what people's going to think. The devil will pop it right into his head as soon as he entertains the idea, man, maybe that preacher's right. Maybe I ought to get saved. And he starts thinking about it. Then all of a sudden, the devil will pop into his head, what are your buddies going to think if you get saved? What are those guys down there that you work with going to think if you get saved? Some woman thinking about getting saved, and all of a sudden she starts thinking about all her friends and the things that they do together, and what are these people going to think if I get saved? And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, and that snare keeps people from getting saved. They don't get saved because they're afraid of what somebody might think. If that person that you're so friendly with cared anything about you at all, they would really want to see you get saved. And the devil's the one that puts that idea in your mind that people will think I've cracked up. You've heard all the expressions, all the funny things. Yeah, he used to be a pretty good guy until he went to church and somebody smacked him in the head with a Bible and now he's not the same. That's what they say. Yeah, he went down there and got him some religion, and now all he wants to do is talk about religion. No, all he wants, what happened to him is he went someplace and got saved, and all he wants to do is talk about the Lord and other people getting saved. And you know something? You hear that enough times, and you hear enough of that stuff, and pretty soon, the next thing you know, you're not saved. The devil gets you to thinking, what are people going to say? What are people going to think? I heard him say that about others. They're going to say the same thing about me. And God wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He sent his Son into this world to die for you on a cross and suffer in agony and shame and shed his blood that you might be saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell. The reason why a man doesn't get saved is because he's too busy with other things. The devil will make sure that you stay busy so you don't think about your soul and don't think about this one word, saved. How many times have you thought about it in the last month? If you're in here and you're lost, how many times have you thought about being saved in the last month? You haven't thought about it. Devil keep you from thinking about it. He'll get you to thinking about the job. He'll get you to thinking about making money. He'll get you to thinking about the things that you have. And all the stuff that you have to take care of. And man, I'll tell you what. The more you have, the more time it takes to take care of all the stuff you have. And pretty soon the devil has you running down the path of life, just doing this and that and this and that, and not thinking about the important thing. And the important thing is your soul and what's going to happen to your soul the instant that body dies and that heart quits pumping blood and those lungs quit breathing air and that brain quits sending signals to the nerve system of your body, and you step outside of that body, your soul steps outside of that body and gets sucked down into a devil's hell where you'll be in darkness and you'll be in fire and you'll burn forever and ever. The devil doesn't want you to think about that. So he gets you wrapped up in doing things. I love to go past farms in the summer where the fences are all painted white, the fields are all mowed down, the shrubs are all trimmed, the shutters have been painted, and the grass has been cut, and the trees produce just the right amount of shade, and the flowers are just right along the sidewalks. And I look at that thing and I'd say, man, I'd like that. I'd like to live there. And then the Lord says something. If you lived there for 1 month, it would look just like that place that you live in right now. A bicycle laying out in the front yard, you know, and a place where the dog's been on a chain. He wore all the grass off of the thing, and the trash can got knocked over. Not all the trash got picked up. And it wouldn't look like that. You know why? Because it takes time to keep it looking like that. And people that have places like that, they spend day after day and hour after hour. It just doesn't happen. They spend time doing that. And the devil will keep you busy so that you don't think about being saved. Take your Bible for just a moment and turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and here an invitation is given. Just like God gives an invitation for salvation, an invitation was given. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 16, Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them which were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the street and lanes of the city, and bring in thither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The Lord had a supper. He invited people to come, and they used excuses. Excuses. I can't come. I bought a piece of ground. I can't come. I bought an oxen. I can't come. I've taken a wife. I can't come. I can't come. The Lord said, just go out and get anybody that'll come. You know something this morning? That invitation goes out from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit sends it out. If you'll just come to Jesus Christ, He'll take you just like you are, and He'll save your soul, and you'll immediately begin to make an excuse as to why you shouldn't come. The devil will do that. The devil doesn't want you to come. Doesn't want you to get saved. Here's another reason why men won't get saved. They say there's too many hypocrites. This is used over and over and over again. But let me tell you something. That excuse won't work when you stand before God. You won't have to give account for any hypocrite. All you'll have to give account for is you. And if there are hypocrites, and sometimes there are, if there are hypocrites, why do you think those hypocrites have been brought before your eyes? The devil wants to use them to keep you from getting saved. And you know, that's just such a lame excuse anyway, because a hypocrite won't keep you from anything else. Hypocrite won't keep you out of a ball game. Hypocrite won't keep you out of a grocery store. Hypocrite won't keep you from joining some club. Why should a hypocrite keep you from coming to Jesus Christ? And yet man says, well, I know you're right, preacher. I know I need to be saved, but there's too many hypocrites. Well, get saved and go have a ministry to the hypocrites. And just don't be one yourself. People go to hell because they're waiting for a feeling. They say, well, you know something? I'd get saved if I just knew for sure that God wanted me saved. How much more proof do you need than what I've given you this morning and all the verses that have been quoted to you? How much more proof do you need? You say, well, if I just had that feeling. What feeling? What feeling would you need? Would you have to get knocked cuckoo cold? Would somebody have to just knock you cold? I mean, would something have to happen to you where all of a sudden you just, bam, went out cold? And then when you came to, would you say, man, now I know I need to get saved? No, somebody would say, oh, you had a high blood sugar attack. Or something like that. People waiting for a feeling. They said, I just don't feel. I just don't have that feeling yet. You know, the only feeling I had when I was standing on that street corner, it was a feeling of despair and desperation and a feeling of hopelessness. Because I knew in my heart that what that man was telling me was absolutely right, and that I was going to hell and there was no hope for me. And I was expecting him to tell me that I had to turn over a new leaf and try to do better than what I'd been doing before, because before I got saved, I thought that salvation was in something you were supposed to do. That you had to live a certain kind of way, and you had to look a certain kind of way and dress a certain way, and you had to go to church and you had to do these things, and then you'd be saved. But he told me this. When he told me, Jesus will save you just like you are. He'll take you right now. He'll give you eternal life. If you'll just believe on him. I thought, there's my chance. That's my only hope. And brother, I asked Jesus to save me. And I didn't have anything but a feeling of despair and hopelessness before I got saved. And after I got saved, I had a feeling of freedom. And a great burden had been removed. And I felt clean, like a newborn baby. Man says, I'm not ready. I just don't have a feeling. Fellow won't get saved. Person won't get saved. He says, well, I'm afraid I just can't live it. Live what? What do you have to live? You say, well, if you get saved, you have to live a certain way. You only have to live the way God wants you to live. You know, every one of us in here that are saved, we live different ways. God loves us all. You don't live like me. I don't live like you. You don't live like Brother Martin. Brother Martin doesn't live like me. We all live differently. You don't have to live a certain way in order to get saved or in order to stay saved. Now, if you don't live the way God wants you to live, He'll chasten you. He'll reprove you. He'll rebuke you. But He won't cast you into the lake of fire. I have 6 children. I raised my children thinking that if I raised them a certain way, they would live a certain way. And do you know something? Some of my children don't live the way I live. They're still my children. I still love them. Do they disappoint me? Yes. Sometimes they disappoint me. Are they still mine? They'll always be mine. Nothing will ever change my love for them. Nothing will ever change my care and concern for them. Nothing will ever change the fact that they belong to me. They're my children. Ted Bundy, one of the worst serial killers of this modern age, when he went to court and was tried for the murder of two girls in college, and then later a small child that he mutilated and abused, was given the death sentence. Some people interviewed his mother and said, what do you think? And she said, he's still my son. And I still love him. And I know what he's done is awful and it's heinous, but I don't want to see him die. And I thought to myself, only a mother and only God could think that way about their children. And if you get saved, you don't have to live a certain way. People say, I can't hold out. I can't live it. And so they don't get saved. You get saved. You get saved. You come to Jesus Christ. And then let Him show you how He wants you to live. The last thing. The reason why man doesn't get saved, why people don't get saved, is because they think they have plenty of time. And the devil will tell them, and one of the favorite things of the devil, one of the favorite excuses that the devil gives a lost person is get saved, but don't get saved right now. Not right now. And he'll tell you, you'll have another opportunity. You'll have another chance. There's plenty of time. Don't do anything about it right now. And yet the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Lord wants you saved. He wants you saved now. He wants you saved today. And the devil's going to tell you, put it off. You've got plenty of time. No, you don't. You don't know how much time you have. You don't know whether God will ever deal with you the same way that He may be dealing with you right now if you're lost. Get saved. Don't put it off. Realize that you have a need. You say, I am saved. Good. When did you get saved? How did you get saved? One of these days, you might have to explain that to God. And if you couldn't get up right now and testify to the fact that you've been saved, and you might not be able to put your finger on the exact day, but you know about how old you were and where you were and what took place and how it came to pass, and you can tell me the events that surround that, then that's probably a pretty good sign that you really got saved. But if you can't do that, if you just have it in your head, I'm okay, so I guess I'm saved, God says, you need to be saved. And if you're not saved today, this morning, right now, would be a very good time, the best time, for you to do something about it. Let's stand and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that you would bless the word that has gone out. And Lord, I don't know the hearts of these people. I don't know whether anyone in here is lost. I don't know. Maybe everyone in here is saved. I don't know, Lord. You know. But God, if there is one person, one man, one woman, one child that has never put their faith and trust in you, they can't point to that time when they ask you to save them and you saved them. I pray that this morning might be the day, and right now might be the hour, that this day in January the 14th or whatever it is, Lord, that they might put their trust in you and be saved this very day, this very moment, and not walk out of here in a lost condition. Now, Lord, please speak to hearts. And Lord, deal with them. And God, make it very plain to them. And may they do something about it. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.